I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Faith Lapidus with Explorations in VOA Special English. This week, we tell about one of the most recognizable objects in science fiction, the laser. And we tell how the laser has made its mark in the 50 years since its invention.
Three professional research groups have been leading a year-long celebration of the laser's 50th anniversary. It is called LaserFest. The American Physical Society, the Optical Society, and SPIE, a group that supports the study of light, all have been involved. One goal is to honor the early developers of lasers who were both scientists and business leaders. Another goal is to show the public that lasers are a great example of how scientific research can result in technology that improves economies everywhere. And LaserFest is also meant to inspire young people to take up careers in optical science and engineering.
Laser stands for light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. The idea behind lasers is complex. Just how complex? Consider that it took the mind of Albert Einstein to discover the physics behind the laser. Theodore Maiman succeeded in building the first working laser in 1960. Mr. Maiman worked at Hughes Research Laboratories in Malibu, California. A laser fires a light beam. Before the laser, scientists developed a similar device, a MASER, which stands for microwave amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. A MASER is basically a microwave version of the laser. Microwaves are a form of electromagnetic radiation, similar to but shorter than radio waves. The best-known use of masers is in highly accurate clocks. In the 1950s, researchers in the United States and Russia independently developed the technology that made both masers and lasers possible. Charles Townes was a professor at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He and his students developed the first MASER. Russians Nikolai Basov and Alexander Prokhorov did their research in Moscow. Their work led to technology important to lasers and MASERs. The three men received the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1964.
The idea of a thin beam of light with deadly power came much earlier. By the end of the 1800s, the Industrial Revolution had shown that science could invent machines with almost magical powers. And some writers of the time were the first to imagine something like a laser. In 1898, H.G. Wells published a science fiction novel called The War of the Worlds. In it, he described creatures from the planet Mars that had technology far beyond anything on Earth. Among their weapons was what Wells called a heat ray. Listen to actor Orson Welles describe the weapon in a famous radio broadcast of The War of the Worlds from 1938.
I shall refer to the mysterious weapon as a heat ray. It's my guess that in some way they are able to generate an intense heat in a chamber of practically absolute non-conductivity. This intense heat they project in a parallel beam against any object they choose by means of a polished parabolic mirror of unknown composition, much as the mirror of a lighthouse projects a beam of light. That is my conjecture of the origin of the heat ray.
H.G. Wells' description is not too far from the truth. All lasers have several things in common. They have a material that supplies electrons and a power source that lifts the energy level of those electrons. And, as Wells guessed, many lasers have mirrors that direct light. Laser light is different from daylight or most electric lights. It has one wavelength or color. Laser light is also highly organized. Light behaves like a wave, and laser light launches in one orderly wave at a time from its source.
The physics of the laser may be complex. Still, it is just a story of how electrons interact with light. When a light particle, or photon, hits an electron, the electron jumps to a higher energy state. If another photon strikes one of these high-energy electrons, the electron releases two photons that travel together at the same wavelength. When this process is repeated enough, lots of organized or coherent photons are produced. In Theodore Maiman's first laser, a rod of man-made ruby supplied the electrons. A more powerful version of the flash on a common camera was used to lift the energy state of the electrons. Mirrors on either side of the ruby rod reflected and increased the light, and an opening at one end of the rod let the laser light shoot out, just like the flash ray of science fiction hero Buck Rogers.
Our flash rays are working like lightning now. They destroy everything in their path.
Industry put lasers to work almost immediately after they were invented in 1960. But weapons were not first on the list. The first medical operation using a laser took place the year following its invention. Doctors Charles Campbell and Charles Coster used a laser to remove a tumor from a patient's eye at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital in New York City. Since then, doctors have used lasers to cut and remove tissue safely with little risk of infections. Other health uses include medical imaging and vision correction surgery. Eye surgeons use lasers in LASIK operations to reshape the cornea, which covers the lens of the eye. The reshaped cornea corrects the patient's bad eyesight so he or she does not have to wear glasses or other corrective lenses.
Lasers have made measurement an exact science. Astronomers have used lasers to measure the moon's distance from Earth to within a few centimeters. Mappers and builders use laser technology every day. For example, drawing a perfectly level straight line on a construction site is easy using a laser. Energy researchers are using lasers in an attempt to develop fusion, the same energy process that powers the sun. Scientists hope fusion can supply almost limitless amounts of clean energy in the future. Lasers have also changed the way we communicate. It is likely that laser light on a fiber optic network carried this explorations program at least part of the way to you if you are reading or listening online. Super-fast internet connections let people watch movies and send huge amounts of information at the speed of light. Manufacturers have used lasers for years to cut and join metal parts. And the jewelry industry uses lasers to write on the surface of the world's hardest substance, diamonds.
Since 1974, the public has had direct experience with lasers at the grocery store checkout line. Laser barcode scanners have changed how stores record almost everything. They help businesses keep track of products. They help in storage and every detail of the supply process. Experts say no company has put barcode technology to better use than Walmart, based in Bentonville, Arkansas. By 1988, all Walmart stores used laser barcode scanners. Highly detailed records on its products and how they were selling helped Walmart keep costs down. Today, Walmart is the world's biggest corporation.
Lasers are found in many products used almost everywhere. Laser printers can print out forms and documents quickly and are relatively low in cost. They are required equipment for offices around the world. If you have a CD or DVD player, you own a laser. Laserdisc players use lasers to accurately read or write marks on a reflective coated plastic disc. A device turns these optical signals into digital information that becomes music, computer software, or a full-length movie.
Over 100 years ago, writers imagined that beams of light could be powerful weapons. Today, lasers guide missiles and bombs. For example, pilots can mark a target invisibly with a laser. Bombs or missiles then track the target with deadly results. And yes, American defense companies are working on giant laser guns, recognizable to science fiction fans everywhere. But there are technological difficulties. Scientific American magazine says huge lasers turn only about 20 to 30% of the energy they use into a laser beam. The rest is lost as heat. That has not stopped scientists from working to perfect powerful lasers that one day may be able to shoot missiles out of the sky.
This program was written and produced by Mario Ritter. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Faith Lapidus. Go to voaspecialenglish.com to comment on this program and for a link to the Laser Fest website. Join us again next week for Explorations in VOA Special English. You move on out.